SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three on this Friday. It is Labor Day weekend, officially, I suppose, as we get close to noon. And as I said, the racing office, they wrapped up yesterday by performing the double draw and get the hopeful and Baruch card in for Monday. And they're packing up. Dave, when those big wooden boxes on wheels, when they start to roll around the grounds, you know it's time to head back to Long Island. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, but they're not packing up yet. They're doing draws Sunday and Monday for the opening two cards of Belmont.
So right.
They'll be the last ones to, Jackson Brown, you know, let me know when you can come. I'll let you know when you can come for my piano.
Come for my piano.
They've got the keys to load up there for, I guess they want to get that done here and give the boys and girls for the racing office a little time to refresh before they have to, I guess, Wednesday. Or no, I guess they wouldn't have to do that until Thursday now. So they could get on the road tomorrow if they want and, not have to take entries again until Thursday for Sunday.
Nice. Now, that doesn't include you because the work,
work for you goes on.
I'll
back to work Wednesday writing about Friday's card, whatever, you know. But at least I'll have it in my hand before I leave here to know what to do.
I love it.
Well, before we talk, Dave, about everything that we can look forward to, you know, the next 96 hours and really for today's card is good as well, before we even get into the stakes closeouts. But I let Jay and Marty earlier talk about John Asher, and, you know, you've been going to Derby as long as any of us, and some appreciation for John before we move into racing.
John's never met my family, but there's never been a trip that I've made that he doesn't ask about them and ask how my wife and son and daughter are. And just one of the nicest guys I've ever met in the business. It was just shocking when I read or heard that he had passed. And I don't think that place will ever be the same without John Asher, because I have to believe that the corporate entity of Churchill Downs relied on him for guidance as much as the racing side did and the publicity side did. And I think they'll be lost a lot without John Asher. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out moving forward. You know, they have the Breeders' Cup, obviously, this year, which, you know, you get a lot of help from the Breeders' Cup side. So, but next year's Derby, there'll be a big, big void next year. This year in the fall, and then even more so next year, because he is as much Derby and Churchill Downs as anything I've seen.
Well said. Well said. We'll turn our attention to Saratoga, and before we talk, the two-year-olds, Spin Away, Hopeful, etc., Baruch, and the good turf races, and everything that's going on. A 14-horse Woodward, insane. Last week, some recapping of what we saw at Travers Day.
Jonathan Thomas, I think, is going to be a big star, you know, eventually in the training ranks, and I think he displayed it. He's displayed it really from Jump Street with Catholic Boy, getting him started in July last year around two turns at Gulfstream Park, bringing him up here, winning the With Anticipation. He had dirt on his mind the minute they crossed the finish line in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and he was fourth. I remember seeing him like the next race or a race or two later, and he said, "What do you think about me running this horse back in the Rebs?" And I said, "I think it's a terrific idea." I said, "Provided you didn't, that you still have a horse, you know, that you didn't take anything out of him." I said, "I think it's a great idea. No time but the present to try it." And he's managed that horse extremely well. And he was rewarded with those victories at Belmont on the turf and with a solid effort, a very solid effort, on Saturday in the Travers with Catherine Boyd. Hats off to the Aiden O'Brien and his staff. I was not a Mendelsohn guy, and that horse proved me dead wrong. I'm probably even said it on your show. I'm not sure to what degree. It's on tape somewhere, but I didn't like him a little bit, and he ran a tremendous race. Now, granted, the track did favor those types of horses that were forwardly placed, but you had to get there in order to take advantage of it. And Mendelsohn hadn't done that since the UAE Derby, and he did it Saturday, and hats off to them. And I guess they're trending up to the Breeders' Cup Classic. It'd be interesting. I don't know that a Travers winner has ever run in the Hill Prince before to prep for the Classic, but that's what it sounds like Jonathan's doing. So those two really put in superstar performances. I don't want to touch the Elaine Abel-Tasman thing because it gets me upset, so I don't want to talk about that. Promises fulfilled. Hats off to Dale Romans getting that horse. You know, doing when a horse is allowed to do what he does best, you get a performance like the two you've seen from Promises Fulfilled up here during the meet.
A terrific Travers Day, and business-wise too. Obviously, it's going to be impossible to catch up on all those lost turf races, but record handle day too.
Yeah, it was a terrific. You know, you give the people something to bet on, they'll bet, and sometimes you'll give them something not to bet on, and they'll still bet. And but you gave them a terrific card on Travers Day. The weather was terrific. The competitive races. That was about as competitive a Travers as you'd like to see. There was no, you know, stick out. I mean, I guess Good Magic was the sort of the stick out and the odds were 7-5, but, and he didn't show up. It sounds like they have an excuse now with illness, but no, it was a very good betting card, just like tomorrow's car. I mean, they'll have big bonanza tomorrow, I would think, too, if the weather should hold out. And I think that's a terrific Saturday card, Woodward card, 12 of them. Bring lunch and dinner because you'll be there pretty late, but it's a really good card. It's capped by the Woodward, which is, you know, put the names in, save yourself some time, put the names in a hat and pull one out, and you'll have just as good a chance as anyone.
Yeah, you're not going to, you can't, you want to parse them out?
Just 13, who's 13? You know, the only thing is, you know, the interesting thing is maybe you have or know someone who, the best I could find out, I don't know. And since 1991, when I first started, and our database goes back, I try to do a post-position search for post-14 at a mile and an eighth at Saratoga. I can't find any races from 1991 to 2018 where we had a 14-horse field at a mile and an eighth at Saratoga. There might be one, but it didn't show up in our database. And I go as far as 12 for a mile and an eighth. Now, granted, we've had full fields for Travers, mile and a quarter, but I can't find a 14-horse field going a mile and an eighth in the 27 years that our database, you know, can show the post positions. So maybe somebody that you deal with can argue differently or has evidence differently, but I don't know before. Todd Pletcher asked me that question yesterday. When's the last time a horse won from 14 going a mile and eighth at Saratoga? I tried to look it up. I said, I can't find it.
No, it sent a bunch of researcher types to the records. And interestingly, the race on dirt with the most 14 horses seems to be the Kentucky Oaks. That's the in terms of grade ones, that there's just not been anything like this really that in recent memory. Are we confident everybody, I mean, there's nobody that was going to ship potentially that isn't coming, that kind of thing?
I haven't seen everybody, but I think everyone is supposed
unbelievable
to run. You know, it's funny, I did some research on Tuesday of last week to see when the last time, just had a hunch like someone was going to get post 11 that was a contender in the Travers. And so Jonathan Thomas got it, you know, with Catholic Boy. And I was all ready for my stat. Like, you know, the last time a horse won from post 11 was Jatski in 1977. And that was via disqualification. And, you know, the unique thing there was, Seattle Slew was a Triple Crown winner who didn't race in the Travers. This year we had Justify who didn't race in the Travers. Had all this good stuff, and then we get a scratch and he breaks from post 10.
And it didn't matter. I love it. That's great. Well, other than the 14-horse Woodward, we've got
a 12-horse spinaway. And the shippers are a big part of the story, obviously. I don't know if we really can't count Restless Rider as a shipper per se. I mean, she came over from McPeak with the Kentucky string, but obviously chasing yesterday, she qualifies, as does Reflect. Having the little sister of American Pharoah run this weekend, that's a nice bonus to the whole card.
I think it tells you how solid the two-year-old fillies in California are when Bob decides to put this filly on a plane to look for an easier spot. Because that race, the race out there came up pretty salty, even though it only came up, I think, with five or six. But look, obviously the pedigree stands out, as does the performance from post seven that day that she had the outside post, and she won very nicely. I'm always a little bit leery going from the 5.5 to seven. Usually it's a little bit of a bigger jump than I personally like, but I ain't questioning Bob Baffert and Mike Smith. I mean, how do you go against those two? They win. It seems like they win every graded stakes that they ship in for, Fapien not included. if you take Fapien out of the mix and the Honorable Miss, I think Bob's won like five consecutive grade stakes in all grade ones in Saratoga. It's pretty impressive. But it is a solid field. 14 in the Woodward, preceded by 12 in the Spinaway. You talk to Ken McPeak, and I'm sure you have. He's as high in Restless Rider as any young filly he's ever had, including Take Charge Lady, I think it was. And Catherine the Great was very solid in the Schuylerville, and she proved me wrong. I didn't necessarily like her that day, thinking, she probably benefited from wet tracks at Gulfstream Park in her first two starts, but she took it to another level on a fast track. The only negative there is it's just, Cassie's, they're not running poorly, all of them, but they're not winning. It's like on an 0-42. August has not been the place to be. And Saratoga has not been the August place to be for Cassie. He's 0-for-the-month. He's won two races. Both of them were in July. And I think I have him on like an 0-for-42, maybe longer streak. Todd's fillies have just not broken very well, but if they do get into the mix, I mean, Virginia Eloise, I thought, ran a heck of a race to be second in the Adirondack. She just needs to get into the race a little bit earlier. And I'm a little surprised he's running three, but here he is with three. I don't know what to make of Reflect, from California. Nice debut win at San Anita. I don't know if that was the toughest group in Sorrento, but I guess another one who's just looking for a little bit of relief compared to the fillies that are running out in California.
Let's turn toward the two turf races, and the pick four starts with the Saranac, ends with the Glens Falls.
Yeah, the Saranac is a solid group. You have Christoph Clemence had a bit of a quiet meet at Saratoga, but that not totally unexpected, because he was going guns a-blazing at the end of Belmont. The money's just as green down there as it is up here, and he won a lot of races the last 2 weeks at Belmont. Spring summer meet, and so it was a little bit quieter here, but up the ante was the Raging Bull, who's in this field, has only lost once, and that was to Up the Ante. And I know if you just look at it on paper, Up the Ante got loose on the lead 24-1, 48-3, but the thing about it is he was 3.5 lengths ahead of Raging Bull at the eighth pole, and he was 3.5 lengths in front of Raging Bull at the wire. They were both finishing equally as fast, so to just dismiss Up the Ante based on him getting loose on the lead and maybe not seeing that same scenario developing here because a horse would like Sand Dancer in the race. I think Up the Ante's a legitimate horse, and I think Clement's other horse is legitimate in Therapist. Again, a New York bred who's stepping outside of the, after two Stallion Stakes wins, stepping back into open company, of which he's already won three times. And I thought his Cutler Bay at Gulfstream Park on Florida Derby Day was very impressive, because at that point of the meet, speed was golden on the turf course, and he came from second to last to win. So the only bad race on his form is the Penn Mile, and he said he came out of the race a bit dull. Christoph said the horse came out of the race a little bit dull, but he bounced back quickly because 22 days later, he won the New York Stallion Stakes race. I guess the distance is the key to him. Can he handle the mile and eighth? Not sure, but those two horses will be decent prices because they're going to be all over Raging Bull and Marat, who put on quite the show in the Hall of Fame. And that was on good to yield. That was on yielding ground. Now you'll probably get good to firm ground on Sunday, Saturday.
Yeah, Therapist appealed to me. I'm glad you pointed him out.
And then was the Glens Falls. Well, look, it's not going to be a weekend in Saratoga without Chad Brown dominating a Philly and Mare Turf Stakes, right? So it's just which one do you go to? Santa Monica is the obvious choice, given her record here in this country, 2-for-3, with a third with some trouble, I thought, in the Sheepshead Bay, maybe compromised by a slow pace there. A little bit longer of a break than Chad was looking for, but she finished very well in the Dance Smartly, beating Inflexibility, his other horse, and Holy Helena for Jimmy Jerkins. A little bit interested to see On the Moon Again. You know, give her another. She'll be the probably the bigger price of the three Chads, and she had some trouble in her debut, but she was a group placed in Europe, and I could see her at a little bit of a price, maybe bouncing back. And then I guess there's Dance Land for Shug, who's won two in a row. But I think it's pretty much Chad's race to lose.
That feels like it. Dave, some other thoughts looking at the Sunday and even Monday? What else caught your eye doing the advances?
Sunday, you have a couple nice maiden races, and you have the debut of Graceful Princess, who's out of the champion mare Habit de Gras by Tappet. I was just back, actually, before you called, I was speaking to Ralph Nix, and it was last year on closing Sunday, I believe, if not closing day, that he debuted another filly in a 7/8 race, Caledonia Road, who became a champion. She won and wound up being the champion 2-year-old filly. Not fair to compare an unstarted maiden to that filly, but it'll be interesting to see this really well-bred filly debut. And so that's in race four. And then the prior, I guess, not to be trite here, but came up a dream race. You have Dream Tree for Bob Baffert, and you have Dream Pauline for Kieran McLaughlin. So that's, and that race, Mia Mischief's in there too. That's a pretty solid little, the Priors came up a pretty solid race. Sour for Linda Rice, third in the victory ride. Classy Acts, So it's a pretty solid race, and Moonshine Memory. So it's a good field for the Prioress. Looking forward to that card. And then obviously Monday, the hopeful, we see Mucho versus Nitrous and Sombeya. And then obviously Voodoo Song, try to make it 6-for-6 at Saratoga in the Bernard Baruch. It's funny, I mentioned to them about the Bernard Baruch, and they were talking about the Wood by Mile. I said, wouldn't the Bernard Baruch make a little bit more sense? I know you want to go stay in grade ones, but you get a good race here, good timing from the last race, don't have to ship, favorite course, and then take your swing in the Shadwell and see if you belong with the best and go on to the Breeders' Cup. And I guess it resonated, because here they are.
Nice. Look at you. Good job.
Playing racing manager.
Well, Dave, it's been a good summer. We weathered the rain. We just have been spoiled, I think. Had been really many summers without that kind of, problematic complication. But going to finish strong here, from every indication.
Yeah, look, you couldn't keep this record pace up forever. We've had weather like this before, maybe not to the degree, but we've had rainy summers before. And I think my count is 50 off the turf races, and that's a lot.
Wow.
That's a lot of races off the turf. So what, they have their built-in excuse. Now they have a couple of faux pas here as well, they kind of shot themselves in the foot a few times, but look, this meet still survives. People love to play this meet. You give them, as we said, we give them a quality product like you gave them last Saturday, like you're giving them today and through the weekend. And I think the weather will hold. It's gotten nice and cool now. I mean, 2 days ago we were sweating, and now I had my son with me out this morning on the golf cart, and he was shivering. So we've run the gamut to everything. So, they should finish strong. Good cards, 10 today, 12, 12, and 11 to finish it out. And then, hopefully people still stay engaged when we get to Belmont next Friday.
Yeah, should be a good finish and a good fall. And, Dave, I appreciate all the contributions throughout the summer. And we'll see you later this afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Good luck.
Dave Grenick, everybody. DRF Grenick. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Ed DeRosa is going to join us. We'll get Ed's weekend plays. I'm sure he's got some insight to offer on Kentucky Downs. And then we'll, and also on that grade one 14 horse field research, which was really kind of cool on Thursday, Friday when it was being discussed. And then Rick Hammerly to close out Del Mar season as well. 45 minutes on the weekend preview on this Friday. I have the selections up here shortly. I was waiting for the scratches. They came about 15 minutes ago. And, of course, we're involved today in the nightcap. Carlisle Bell, almost exactly 8 years. It was 8 years ago on Wednesday, the 29th, when Aus-Sable Chasm broke her maiden at Saratoga. That was on personal ensign day. And day after the Travers in her second start, and here is her daughter going to get a chance at Saratoga too, and she's been going good. She really is trained well up here, so we're looking forward to the 10th today. I want to thank Gary and Connie and everybody at the barn, of course, Louis Reyes, who's been getting on her, and Louis's going to ride with Angel Arroyo down in Jersey for the summer. Safe trip to Carlisle Bell, or what I've vowed will be our only homebred. Back after this, Ed DeRosa joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool, fun-in-the-sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete fun-in-the-sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Somewhere in South End, when you were fun, you took my hand and you made me run up past the prison to the seafront. You climbed the cliff edge and took the plunge.
Yeah.
races at just about 20 minutes into hour three, and we've got either Ed or Hammer going to join us. We're not going to shuffle the deck and see what see what card Casey drew. And sometimes it's a mystery to me, and I don't know until I hear the voice on the other end of the line, and we'll see what it is. I just looked at the scratches, actually, from Saratoga, and Ready for Rye, who I suppose I should be quite relieved that Ready for Rye scratched from the today's lucky coin, because I never have gotten that. That's a horse I've always kind of liked, but I've never bet him right in his whole career. It just seemed to just have the wrong idea when it's come to him, you know, on the dirt, on the turf, and sprinting. I never seem to catch him. So he's come out of there, which actually should help Pocket Change, the favorite, Jason Service, who goes back to sprinting today after trying a little bit of a stretch out. So he returns, and Service is just so good with these turf sprinters. It's unbelievable. The numbers that, I mean, he's, you know, he wins at a high percentage anyway, but, the turf sprinting, you know, there's a handful of people that really understand it. And, you know, Linda Rice, of course, originally when they came to New York, Arnaud Delacour had, the numbers aren't as strong as they used to be, but Arnaud Delacour had gaudy numbers, turf sprinting. And of course, in California, they're going to do some turf sprinting. And I don't mean 6.5 down the hill. We talked to Hammer last week or the week before about those, the short turf sprints that are going to be carded this year. Hammer joins us closing weekend at Del Mar. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing? Fine day.
Good.
Good. So heading in, I didn't listen to too much of the show heading in, which I usually do in the car. I hit the wrong button, and your channel's right next to the Grateful Dead button. So, and I thought about you because they were playing a show from May 1980 in Ithaca.
Oh wow!
So I imagined you. You know,
we were there. No, we were. That was. We were there, Rick.
May
the
7th.
Cornell show. Absolutely. That's when. That's when our group. It's also my one and only experience that you can imagine when I was told to open my mouth.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, it wasn't Kool-Aid. That's funny though, and it's wild because say you were there, and every once in a while when they play a show and you go, I was at that show. So there
that's
you go.
My only.
I did think about you, and that's why I never went back to.
Too funny. Too funny.
Show. But anyway.
We all went, the Decouse, we all went, Mike Greco and Adam Kaufman and the late Mike Heffler, and there's a whole bunch of us went, and that is funny that show. You know, they came to Colgate. What would happen, they would very frequently, like, get pickup shows between scheduled dates, and you know, they would hit college
right.
campuses. There was a very famous show at Colgate before I got there. And Andy, I know Andy Serling had went to that show. And it's from 70, I think it's 76 or 77. And that's a show that is, I mean, really in the annals
uh-huh.
for the Dead.
Yeah, pretty wild. See, I thought we'd spark something up. That's pretty good.
I love it.
But anyway, no, you're right. Del Mar's ending, and we're actually today, August 31st, the doors opened to the backstretch today. So a few vans headed in when I was coming in this morning. So the circus is headed back north. So a lot of people happy to get back. So we'll open the track on Sunday. The main track will be open, and we'll start to see a trickle of horses out there stretching their legs, and before you know it, we'll be back. So we open in actually 4 weeks, four Fridays from now. We open on the 28th of September for a 6-week run, and it'll be glad to get back to racing, to tell you the truth.
No doubt. It's fun to go down there, but when everybody comes back and get back to the work of the racing office and managing the circus, always
managing
good.
Managing the circus is right. This is where the mayor part comes in of the job description. Putting everybody exactly. back in their spots and keeping everything in order. Clocker's Corner will be open on Saturday too. So that's really when we open, when Rosie's out there, serving people. So that's the official opening. But we were able to do what we needed to do in between and clean up back there on the backside, do a few things on the front side in the paddock and touch base. You mentioned we're going to try a couple of races going 5/8 on the turf, which we've never done here. Interestingly enough, we decided just to try it, and when I say handful, I mean a handful. There was a lot of panic in people. I got calls, oh, no, you're not going to. I said, no. The hill's going to be the hill. I mean, we're scheduled to do three stakes, 5/8 on the turf, maybe a race or two. That's it. So it's not going to be a staple. The hill's not going away. Something a little different every once in a while, so don't panic. We got the gate out there the other day. We, of course, had to cut a hole in the rail on the turn. And it'll start, where most of them start, obviously, when as they head into the backstretch. So they'll get that long run down the backstretch, make the turn, and then down the stretch. But we put the gate out there just to check it out, make sure everything worked, get the crew going. And I might put a couple pictures up of that on Twitter. I haven't sent a tweet out in a while. I've been in restriction, so maybe when the racing comes, we'll start to send a few more things. But, the rail went out there. We'll probably only run it when the rail's at zero, maybe 10, so we can get 10 or 12 horses out there. But I'm excited to see just a few things. I mean, a few races at that, but don't panic. Where the hill's still going to be the mainstay of our turf sprint.
Nice.
And, Rick.
We talked to John Parada too.
Just, look, whoa. Rosie, well, just what Rosie, say hi to Steve.
Rosie.
How are
just
you?
Just walked in with a box of something that I'm opening up right now. Oh, my oatmeal. Oh, finally I'm back on my diet. I've been eating terrible. Bacon, sausage. So Rosie makes me eat oatmeal and fruit every day, and I love it.
Your oatmeal and fruit, Miguel made it for you. Make sure that you had your...
Rosie, you had a good few weeks off?
Oh, yeah, a lot of weeks.
Nice.
She's ready to roll.
I'm ready to roll.
I love it. Well, we're going to try to get out there for one of the big weekends.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
So, there you go. She's got a big smile on her face. I guess, did I just say, Sanity doesn't open until Rosie opens up the gates. And we're officially
the gates are open.
The gates are open.
Can I get the ribbon and cut it tomorrow?
Get the ribbon. We got the big. We're trying to find that pair of big scissors. It's right next to the big check somewhere in the house. We can't find it.
Yes,
and the chicken. It's some chicken tortilla soup.
Oh, yeah. Just tell me when you're coming. We'll make sure we make it for you.
I love it. Thanks. Thanks, Rosie.
Texters. Yep. You said. Boom. They take advantage of that. He'll be out. He's a foodie. So
I love it. She's the best.
That burrito for the airport was better.
There you go. And say hi to Johnny. You got to say hi to Johnny D because he's listening too, Rosie.
Hey, Johnny. He's
right.
Johnny's the one that started making food turn salad like waitress. Off track betting.
That's right.
He's the one that started a big old riot out there. I was so embarrassed. I was so scared. My first month working there, he started a big riot. I want a sandwich. You can make it. So I got terrified, and I said, I'm going to make that sandwich so you can shut up. And that's how it started.
There you go.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, and now everybody has a job because of him.
Cook. Yeah, that's
cooks,
right.
And everybody gets to eat there, have breakfast all year round.
So great.
So there you go. A little history thrown in. You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. She's the best. That'll get everybody ready to come back to Clocker's Corner.
There you go. Right. Beautiful. Rosie, we couldn't have planned it any better. How about
that? No, that was perfect.
Perfect.
I will. Thank you again, Rosie, for the oatmeal. Back on my diet. All right. It's all good. You made my day. I was having a rough morning, but guess what? She made my day.
Now you're getting in tune. Rick, some thoughts about closing out the meet down there. And the two-year-olds, both Quigley and Privman, really banged that drum. It has been particularly strong, and it feels like, you know, the juvenile program really a lot of stars in the making.
It's amazing how many they all come out at once, and which we don't mind. We just like to hopefully see them spread out amongst a few more trainers, because then you know what happens here. You know, like Bob's got a million of them, of course. You know, a bunch of winners, and then they populate around the country, so instead of running against each other, which I don't blame them, and his owner's like, whoa, let's split them up. So we got a five pack for the debutante, some good ones, you know, three high priced ones with Brill. I'm not telling you anything that probably your other guest said. Mother and Bellafina. You know, you look at Drayden Van Dyke stayed on Brill. He's not riding Mother, and a lot of times, and most of the time, when you see something like this, a lot more is read into it than oh, he must have liked that one better. You know, you really don't know. This might have been as simple as a date. Brill ran first and ran through the TV, and who knows if they said, all right, yeah, we'll sign you up for the next one. Then, you know, 5 days later or 4 days later, Baffert sends one with Van Dyke on it, and he's like, well, I already gave the call away. So you really can't say that every single time that happens, oh, the jock, you know, he wanted to ride that horse, he wanted to do that. Sometimes it's commitment. So I just throw that out the window. The only thing you can say is Bellafina's got some more experience running in the stake, running against winners. Looked very, very, very impressive. But the other two in there, Brill and Mother, super impressive in the maidens. If I had to flip a coin, I'd probably hope it lands on heads and take Brill just to see. But a good five-pack here. And then keep in mind, it was just kind of making some notes to myself. Basically, from now on, we're at Breeders' Cup country, meaning every stake that's run at any track everywhere could have ramifications. So watch them close. Watch for not necessarily the winners. They're easy to follow. But the horses that finish up the track a little bit that have Breeders' Cup intentions, you know, sometimes those horses that finish up the track a little bit are using these as preps and ready to move on. So these get up to 7/8 now, and then they come here, and a month later we'll be running the longer races. So the first time they go long on the dirt in a stake will be then. So just keep your eye on some stuff here. Yes, these races are important, but as far as Breeders' Cup goes, you want to see how they do long or how they look like they are going to do long. So, you know, good five-pack there, like we said, not a whole lot of mystery there. And then the John C. Maybe, which is, this is another one to spin the wheel, see where the little ball's going to land. And we mention every time, fillies and mares, long on the turf, doesn't matter, mile and a half, grade one, grade two, grade three, they all take the turns. And you can really see that in this race. So you can, if you go down, Meal Ticket hasn't run in a stake, but Sophie P., she got her win in the Gamely. Midnight Crossing, she got her win in the Frankel. Storm the Hill, she got her win in the Wilshire. Fon Mura, she got her win last time in the Oceanitas. Cordiality got her win in the Solana Beach. Cambodia, she got her win last time in the Yellow Ribbon. And on the outside, Madam Stripes, she got her win in the Megahertz. They take their time. I mean, they take their turn winning. Rarely do you see them win two of these races in a row, let alone in the same season. I'm going to go with the one that hasn't won the stake yet, Basilica, which is this Hollendorfer filly that's won everything but a stake, including a couple of our little starter handicaps we've put up for her. She's gone through her conditions with flying colors. Pratt stays on, going for a sixth win in a row. I'm going to stick with a sharp horse in here, Basilica, and see if we can add her name to the list of filly mare stake winners out here that just keeps changing every race. So once again, contentious. Don't be afraid to bet anybody at a decent price, but I'll stick with Jerry. This filly has just really been something, and Pratt is on a mission. he blinked a couple weeks ago for some reason, and he woke up the next day and Van Dyke was in front. So I think I didn't catch the number. He's back. I think it's two or three to start the weekend in wind.
Three,
yeah,
I think.
So
is it quickly said.
Two or three. So it's close enough to where he's got a shot. So he's going to be, not that it's great to see Drayden do his thing. We're kind of waiting for him to explode, the last few meets. But he's just been such a cool customer. But Flavian and Derek, his agent, are probably going crazy right now. They're lining up mounts left and right for closing day. But this should come down to the wire pretty good. But we like Pratt's horse in there in the Saturday feature. Sunday, what do we have on Sunday? Sunday we have the Del Mar Juvenile Turf. Once again, this is the first time these guys are running in a stake race. The boys' version will be, the girls' version will be on Monday. And full field here, we probably got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five maidens, which is not uncommon. Many times there's more starting gates than there are winners, especially in our region out here. So don't discount the maidens right off the bat. A couple of them to look at maybe, Keith DeSormo, who's very good. He gets the most. His horses like to run long. He trains them to run long. He's very good at that. And the first time out, last time, he only got beat three lengths. He's one of the maidens I would take a look at. And even Jeff Bondi's horse, who comes out of the same race, they finished second and third to a nice colt that's in here. But Rajika was the winner of that race. Richard Baltus, first time USA. Going to be tough to beat in there, I think. But we'll get an eye on these, and once again, when they're done, they'll come to us and try long again. So keep your eye on some of these. Del Mar Derby, we've said all along that River Boyne's been our number one colt out here, and he's proved it in each and every race. Had a little stumble when the turf came up yielding at Churchill, so we can put a line through that one. Obviously likes the firm turf. We went from the La Jolla, which is the prep for this race that had only six horses, to a full gate here, which is great. River Boyne, obviously, at least the horse I think take a look at. The Invader, always look for the Invaders. Mark Cassie, he's too good a trainer to not be ready to explode here in the latter quarter of the year. But sends out Ride a Comet, who comes off a real nice third in the Hall of Fame, is a big contender in this race. A lot of the other horses here are separated from River Boyne. I think he could be there. A couple of horses to take a look at, maybe as a bigger price on towards the outside. Kazan, he's won two in a row here, is going to be sitting and waiting. If the race falls apart, Kazan's shown he can close, and he sure likes the Del Mar turf course, 2 for 2 in this last one. And Brian Corners, take the 101. I'm not sure what kind of a price you're going to see on him. He's a cowbred, coming off 7/8 last time, but he can run on the turf, and he's showing some ability against some of the open company here. So he might be a little bit of a sleeper, but you still have River Boyne to beat in here. And they're drawn today for the finale, which will have the Del Mar Futurity with the Colts in there going 7/8. And, just like Saratoga. Now, does Saratoga end on Sunday or Monday?
Sunday.
They end on Sunday. So Del Mar ends on a Monday.
I'm sorry. What am I talking about? Monday. Labor Day.
Monday. No. Okay, that's what I thought. So they both go out at the same time. So I'm sure they're both drawn into today. You know? And for me, when Del Mar has a good meet, that's good because that means it helps carry over. When they struggle, we seem to struggle. And this carried over from the last month of our meet in June. You could tell there was just more horses there, and boom, it sure they really have done a great job adding that extra day here on going 5 days a week and keeping the field size up pretty much the whole meet. So I'm hoping that bodes well for us for our little six-week meet. So, getting ready for the horses to come back and the people to come back, and we'll be ready.
Yeah, it's been a nice summer. I mean, what from your trips down and as people get ready to break camp, what's been the overall business? Seems like it's been terrific. I mean, it just feels like it was a very healthy season down there.
Yeah, it was. was a quiet. It was quietly upbeat. I want to say a lot of times when I make, you know, I probably go down there 3-4 times just to more on business and then have a little fun, but just walking around talking to people. It was a lot more upbeat this year. Not as many complaints about the track or as, yeah, you know, the food at the restaurants. People can complain about anything when you're away from home, but obviously we're ready to get back. But just in general, more upbeat, which obviously just makes the one part of our job in here a little bit easier. When it's the people that can make or break the mode, shall we say. But, you know, looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting some people back here. It gets lonely, you know, planning and getting stuff ready. And now I think we're ready to go. I think we'll have a good opening. We'll have our usual Saturday, big opening on the Saturday, Sunday, and then the next weekend with the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'd probably run 15, 16 stakes in the first 2 weeks. But that's what it's all about, getting ready for that Breeders' Cup.
Excellent. Well, Rick, as always, appreciate the seasonal input and good luck closing out the summer down there, and look forward to turning back toward Los Al for a little interim and then the big run-up.
Yeah, sounds great. I don't think we'll see. I'm imagining you won't be making a trip out here for a while, but
we'll see.
Right? You got the invitation from
maybe.
Rosie, so you know,
there you
that's
go.
Tough to turn down. So anyway, good luck. I hope hope it's cooled down a little bit out there. I know
yep.
it has here.
Yep.
So we're into yes. that fun, those, you know, September, which is, you know, weather-wise, I think one of the best months around anywhere in the country. So we'll try and get out a few places one more time before the meet starts. And that's it. Enjoy, and have a great Labor Day weekend, everybody.
Hammer, thanks a lot. Rick Hammerly, everybody. Away they go on Twitter. And away we go. Last break of the morning, I would think, and might get to Mike Welch. We seem to have lost Ed. Ed, don't know where Ed DeRosa went. So we'll have to get his Bix picks. They'll have to come online only, I guess, which is too bad because I wanted to get his Kentucky Downs input. All right, so be it. Casey's tried him a few, and I sent him a text too, Case. I don't know. Hope everything. Yeah, that's not like him actually. All right, we'll take a break. Come back, wrap it up.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back to wrap up here in just about 10 minutes. And I Mike Welch is tied up, and so and Ed has disappeared. So we don't know what we're going to do. But I got plenty of notice here to touch on some of the other action. And we're going to try to connect with Mary Rampolini, because I didn't want the nice day at Louisiana Downs to go unnoticed and unrecognized. The Super Derby, of course, tomorrow afternoon, 5:05 Central. And I mentioned the field yesterday, led by Brad Cox with the High North and with Tom Amos and Lone Sailor. Those are the two stars, more or less. And, Lionite, nothing wrong with Lionite. That's the Winchell Willis Horton Quality Road colt, and showed some signs along the way when he won the Prairie Mile, but was just a good enough closing third in the Iowa Derby. Then kind of disappointed, ran kind of an even race in the West Virginia Derby. So Lionite, those are the three big names. There's also local interest from Al Stahl with Autumn Warrior. And Mary Rampolini joins us before we wrap up on Labor Day weekend. And Mary's been busy very quietly. We haven't had a chance to talk to her during the summer. But Remington, of course, opened. And Steve Asmussen started off with a bang. Clark Brewster, they had a win in the Remington Green that kicked off the meet. And attention turns to Louisiana Downs for the Super Derby and a good supporting card. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, a lot of racing in my region starting to heat back up after a quiet few weeks.
Very much, but Remington rolling, and the fact we talked to Moquette over the past week, both on TV and on radio about Whitmore, but I saw where Ron has got a representation at Remington, and the usual cast, the Remington Green, I thought it was interesting they used that as a season kickoff.
Yeah, they moved the race earlier this year, kind of took it off that Oklahoma Derby Day card towards the end of September and started things off with a bang and a nice win from Turbo Street, two in a row in that race for him. I guess it doesn't matter the date on the calendar, he just gets it done.
He's ready. Well, they're ready for tomorrow afternoon at Louisiana Downs, and they got to be happy. The Grade 3 Super Derby, 300,000, and this is a nice group.
I think it's a very competitive group, Steve. Yes, Sunday is Super Derby Day at Louisiana Downs, and they're going to have a total of 7 stakes on the card, but the big one, like you said, is a Super Derby Lone Sailor. As you talked about some of the horses, Lone Sailor coming in off his third in the Haskell last out. Iowa Derby winner High North is in there, brings some nice credentials into the race. And as you were talking about Lionite, Limation is in here as well. A couple there for Steve Asmussen. So it's a good group. Autumn Warrior, as you mentioned, undefeated in three starts, and really goes for a barn that's had an exceptional meet. Al Stahl has a division at Louisiana Downs, and they went through a period of time there where literally they could not lose. It was amazing the streak the barn was on, and they continue to win there at a 35% clip. So very big, big season overall there.
The rest of the card includes just a nice typical array, the races like the Happy Ticket and the Sunday Silence, and you've got the Louisiana Bred Stakes as well. Nice field size, you know, particularly from about race five on.
Yeah, they did. They did draw some big fields, and, you know, the Unbridled is a really nice horse in big changes. That's a turf route. And he's going for four in a row, coming off stakes wins at Evangeline and Mountaineer. And then a large group, a very competitive group of fillies and mares in the River City. So those are the older horse races. And all those undercard stakes are on the turf, and that always adds an element of fun to grass racing.
Well, as long as the weather holds up.
That's right. Yeah, they're looking at, should be low 90s, but there is a pretty good chance for some precipitation or scattered thunderstorms, to use the Weather Channel's term, on Sunday afternoon. So,
well, wanted to draw some attention to the card Sunday at Louisiana Downs Super Derby, which, you know, they've tried the last couple of years, Mary. They've tried some different things to breathe life into it and importantly maintain a grading. Experiment with a turf race and, you know, different ways to draw interest, but this feels like, you know, a good step for them at Louisiana Downs in terms of maintaining the Super Derby and the, you know, the nice important history that it's had.
Yeah, 39 running, I understand, and yeah, what a great race through the years. Horses like you could go down the list, but Sunday Silence immediately comes to mind. And just a fun race that truly has defined Louisiana Downs through the years. And like you said, they had a one-year experiment on the grass last time out. Mr. Misunderstood came in and won, which he's turned out to be quite an excellent runner on the grass. And but they're back on the dirt, and it is a little shorter than its normal mile and an eighth, which had been the norm over the last several years of dirt runnings. And that mile and the 16th distance, that was appeal to some of the horses that have gone in this race too, you know. So,
well, I want to hit on a couple of other notes, and the big night at the big afternoon at Louisiana Downs comes on the heels of the end of the Evangeline season. You also, I saw a note from you that I printed out yesterday about the way the fairground schedule is going to unfold as well, and I made a little note. How did last night, and I didn't see it at Remington, how did the Van Berg the horse run?
Yes, I have not finished my results run yet, though, but let me check for you real quick. I watched some of the races, but not all last night, because I've been focused on gathering my data for Super Derby, and I also have the All-American Futurity this weekend. But, yeah, that's a
good that's right. It's Labor Day.
Hamburg, Philly.
That's
yeah,
right.
Big Labor Day racing. Not always Labor Day racing, but like you said, big race in New Mexico as well, so they're excited about that. But yeah, no, this 2-year-old filly named Van Berg looked like she was in a good spot. It was a competitive race. A 2-year-old maiden special weight, and let's see how she fared here.
No good. She was 10.
Oh, you've got it up before me. Okay, very good. Yeah.
All right. Well,
she'll find her.
We're rooting for
her. Yeah, she has a built-in cheering section, that's for sure. So.
Oh, no doubt. No, I saw that note from you the other day, and that a Van Berg namesake was going to started at Prairie Meadows.
That's right. This is the Miss Perfecta race. That's right. Yes. So, but she'll have her day, that's for sure, and it'll be a fun one when it happens. So.
Might
be a bit of a surprise too when it happens.
Maybe at this point. Mary, you're handling the whole Southeast and the Southwest, and I even see that you've been tracking Timonium. How did you draw Timonium? What's Dunleavy doing?
I was a fill-in. They brought me in from the bench for Timonium because Mr. Dunleavy was up at Saratoga for the big Travers.
That's right.
Travers Day.
That's right.
Yeah, for the whole week. So, yeah. So I got to learn a little bit about Timonium. So it was fun. So
Timonium's great. The Timonium, what was it? The Distaff, I think, opening
that's
weekend, right?
Yeah, it was. And it was a good little race, actually. So, that was fun. It's always good learn something new every day a little bit sometimes.
Well, Shimmering Aspen, Rodney Jenkins.
Very nice race from her, and nice filly too. Boy, she's a wind machine.
Well, and he's a terrific Virginia horseman. Rodney Jenkins does a terrific job.
That's nice. I didn't know he was out of Virginia. Very interesting. So
you bet. Grew up with Woodbury Payne. And,
really? Wow, look at that one. My mom was born in Virginia, so Virginia always interests me for that reason and for Secretariat. So, great state.
I love it. Mary, I appreciate this, and we'll be watching for Sunday's action. The Super Derby and the support card, nice stakes card every year, and a busy weekend everywhere. I mentioned Monmouth. They've got the Sorority and the Sapling, so you got the two-year-olds, and you got the Violet and the Red Bank as well, and Kentucky Downs tomorrow. Pick your favorites. I don't know how you make final decisions, because the card here at Saratoga is great. Del Mar, it's an embarrassment of riches. And I hope that you've got an embarrassing pile of riches by Monday. Thanks to everybody this morning. Marty McGee and Jay Pribman and Nick and Tom Quigley, Dave Grenick, Hammer, and Mary Rampolini. I don't know what happened to Ed. We'll get some Ed's picks for you, though. Don't worry. Good luck this weekend, everybody. HRRN coverage tomorrow and this afternoon. And we'll talk to you Monday, Labor Day, to close out the season.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds.
Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.